Hey, Jeremy.
Yes?
Remember years ago, like, what was that, 8 years ago, when we went to Acadia for the first time?
Yeah, that was kind of like another life.
Yeah, it was a long weekend. We at the last minute just...
hopped in the car and drove.
Mm-hmm. We did. We drove up.
Drove through the night.
We left at maybe 6, got there at like 3 in the morning. No big deal.
It was a romantic bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Outside Acadia.
Yeah, we slept in the next morning.
That's right. And then we had breakfast right there at the
Like, all right, croissants with jam.
I think I read the paper for a while.
Probably.
And then we took like a long romantic hike.
Mm-hmm.
No, and then that night we did a moonlight kayak ride.
Oh, I forgot about the moonlight kayak ride.
Were we in a double kayak together?
Yeah, we were. We learned how to kayak in a double kayak. And it was the fog. Remember the fog descended over the bay?
Into the Mystic, mm-hmm. kind of.
We paddled back into the docks and then went out for a beer at the local pub.
I think we smooched after.
Maybe. Oh, bocce.
Bocce ball at the Lompoc Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Long, leisurely nights in Bar Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bike rides.
But we're not talking about that trip this time, are we?
No, we're not. Welcome to episode 12 of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at livelylittlecampers.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this week's episode, we are bringing you our second RV Family Travel Atlas adventure guide. We are headed to one of America's favorite RV destinations, Acadia National Park.
We are going to talk about where to camp, what to eat, what mountains to climb, and we'll also suggest some great family-friendly activities both inside and outside of the park.
And we have partnered up with the Appalachian Mountain Club to bring you our next great giveaway. Stay tuned.
All of this and more in episode 12 of RV Family Travel Atlas, our Acadia National Park adventure guide.
Before we head to Acadia National Park, we have some business to take care of. We are very excited to announce the winner of the micro kickboard contest.
Yeah, sadly, I didn't win.
We can't win any of this, which is really hard.
Because I want like an adult-sized micro kickboard.
Of course you do. And they have them. And it's really funny. Like on their website.
Oh, my God, they do?
Yeah, they have like adults riding kickboards
on their website. I think I need to go adjust my Christmas list.
No, okay. So we were really excited. Thank you so much to Micro Kickboard for sponsoring this contest. It's one of our favorite products that we have ever bought for our children.
It's the favorite. It is.
The absolute favorite.
I'm going to say because it's been 3 years of abuse and they're still going strong.
And it's still their favorite piece of outdoor equipment.
Yeah, I want to throw them away because they've just beat the snot out of them.
Well, they got them when they were 2 and now they're 5 and a half.
And the secret here is, and don't tell Max and Theo, there's going to be some new micro kickboards under the Christmas tree this year, more appropriate for their age and size.
Yeah, they're getting new ones this year. Thank goodness, because we could finally get rid of the minis. But okay, so we're really excited to announce the winner, and it was Janet. And I have to say that one of my favorite parts of doing this is to get people's reactions when they like win something
it's
or just
win.
It's fun
to give people stuff.
It really is. And so Janet was really excited because she said that she never wins anything. And Janet, I am one of those people who have used that line so many times. I never win anything.
It's true. You do feel that way. You won me.
I give away a lot and I don't win anything. So I understand the feeling and I'm really happy that you won a micro kickboard. Janet picked the maxi. She said she's giving it to her nephew for Christmas. So I'm.
And she picked green.
Yeah.
Do they call that camo or
green? They have green because Wes has a green color.
Okay.
Yeah. Wes has
the camo
separate.
One's very cool too. Right, the camo color.
So there's lots of different colors, lots of different styles. Go over to the microkickboard.com website and look. They have a phenomenal product that will please your children tremendously. All from 2 to 10 and I guess above according to the website.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's probably some scooters out there that might be $20 or $30 cheaper than these, but the quality of these is great.
Yeah.
They have lasted and lasted. They have used these for like thousands of miles of scooting all
across
America.
We're big fans. So thank you to the Micro Kickboard for sponsoring this contest.
Now we also want to thank the Creative Action Network, who we have partnered up with to give away three prints from their See America series. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie and I have talked about this on several episodes now. We love the See America series of prints on the Creative Action Network's website. And they agreed to give away three posters with us over the course of three episodes. So we have our first winner to announce, and it's JP. So congratulations to JP.
Yeah. Well, how did he win that?
He won that. Thank you, Stephanie. He won that by throwing us a review in the iTunes store for the mm-hmm. podcast. And we would really like to ask all of you to do the same. If yeah. you've been enjoying our podcast and listening to it for free, as a Christmas present to Stephanie and I, head over to the iTunes store.
It's on our Christmas list.
And give us a review. 4 or 5 stars only. Yeah. No 1, 2, or 3 star reviews are allowed.
If you have a 1, 2, or 3 star review, just email us privately.
Yeah, email us privately or just review another podcast. But it actually, it really helps with rankings and it helps us get some exposure for the podcast. So if you are one of the thousands of people who have downloaded RV Travel Atlas, please head over there and give us a review.
Yeah, and thanks back to our other...
And thanks to everyone else who gave us a review.
Yeah, but we appreciate it.
Back to JP. So JP, you're going to get to head over to the Creative Action Network's website and pick any print that interests you from the See America series. Lots of great prints from our national parks and our state parks mm-hmm. and things like that. So
and tell us which one you want. And
yeah, right? And get back to us. Yeah. Tell us which one you
Email
chose.
Us which one you want, and we're going to pass that along, and they'll send it to you.
Yeah. Now, Stephanie, why don't you tell everybody how they can win the next poster that we're going to give away with Creative Action Network.
Right. So, we're doing this a little differently every time.
We're having fun.
Yeah, why not? Okay. So, we really appreciate the people who are listening to our podcast. And what we wanted to say is that this giveaway is podcast only.
Yeah. On all our other giveaways, we've advertised on social media, on Facebook. And so, hypothetically, you could have won without listening to the podcast.
Right.
But for our next print, it's for you guys only.
Right. So, the first person... That emails us
at rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com. The first email we get from somebody saying, I want a See America poster, you're going to get a free See America poster.
Yeah. So rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com. Email us and tell us that you want the free poster. And if you are the first person to download this podcast and listen to it, and you send us that email.
Don't even go to Creative Action Network's website. Don't choose your poster
no,
first.
No. Right
Someone
now.
Will
push
beat
pause.
You. Okay, just head over, shoot us the email.
Yeah. We want to know.
Okay, let's see who the first person is this weekend to listen to RV Family
and
Travel Atlas.
And we really do appreciate the people that are listening to our
Yeah,
podcast.
And now we're going to have another great giveaway that we're going to announce later in the episode. We're really excited. We've teamed up with the Appalachian Mountain Club mm-hmm. for three great prizes, another awesome and exciting giveaway. And when we do the segment on hiking in Acadia National Park later in the show, we'll announce what that next giveaway is and how you can win.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Onward to the Adventure Guide. Acadia National Park is one of America's greatest RV destinations for many reasons. It's stunningly beautiful. There's great family hiking. There's great food. There's great activities for families. And there's great kayaking, great ocean views. The park is stunning, right, Steph?
Oh, it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. And although I haven't traveled all around the world, I've traveled pretty extensively.
Yeah, and it's one of our 10 most visited national parks. And this summer, it was voted the most beautiful place in America.
Oh, well, I think Good Morning America.
Good Morning America, I believe.
Had it like as the number one
most loved destination in America for everybody. But we really think it's also possibly the number one destination for RVers, or at least somewhere mm-hmm. close to the top.
Yeah.
And that's because there are so many great places to camp right outside of Acadia. There are really 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 really excellent options. And when you talk to veteran RVers who have been to Acadia, everybody's got a different favorite.
Right, because it's not that there's like one awesome place and then a bunch of second-rate places. It depends on what you're looking for.
And what you want to spend.
Your budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now for the past 2 trips to Acadia National Park after that first romantic trip, we've chosen
briefly referenced.
We've chosen the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA. And that's really our favorite. We've driven through several of the other ones and they are nice. And there mm-hmm. are other good options, and we'll talk about a few of those. But we choose the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA, and we really know we would choose it again if we went back. So what are some of the things that we really have loved at the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA over our last two trips there?
Well, we did consider other places, because since we've been there multiple times, we've sort of visually inspected.
We have. Like we've driven through three or four other places.
And we have. And it's a conversation. And then we go back to, no, let's stay at the KOA.
And there's really one dominating reason why.
The main reason is water access.
Direct water access.
Right. Now, our first time that we stayed there, we had a site that was not waterfront, like the water was right there at the edge of your site, but there was a little road, you know, like a campground road. And we were
about
on the
30
other side.
Feet away from the water.
We were. And the water was right there, and the kayak launch
is right
place
there.
Is right there. The tide goes in and out right there. The kids could go down and sort of like poke around at the snails and
yeah,
all
low
that.
Tide, you can walk out a little bit. And it's just a beautiful spot to launch a kayak.
And it, the sunsets
are stunning.
Come on. I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, not every single night it's funny because you get like your like couple of amazing
And there's a couple nights you won't get one where you're waiting for it.
You're like, everybody every night is like, oh, is the sunset going to be amazing? And then as soon as like all the signs point to the amazing sunsets,
people start gathering.
Just gathers down at the water.
And also because you can see seals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's seals playing out there. There's just a lot of amazing aspects of staying right near water, not with a water view. And this is why we recommend at Moorings, Mid-Coast Maine,
in Belfast,
a couple of episodes ago, because it's just having that water access where you can walk your kayak down at sunset.
Right.
And go for a 20-minute paddle. Look,
both did almost every night.
Yeah, we've got three kids. We don't have the luxury of time. Things have to kind of happen in short segments.
Yeah, and it's just really nice for us not to have to throw the kayak in the back of the truck and haul it somewhere and pull it out and drag it down to the lake. I mean, this past summer, I would just grab the kayak, or Stephanie would grab the kayak. Actually, I grabbed it for her and would carry it down to the water for her. And it was 40 feet away from the access, and you just drop that kayak in. And kayaking here is stunning because if you're having one of those sunsets and you get to paddle out into the water during one of those sunsets, it's an absolutely magical experience.
It really is. And it's one of those things that you need to like say, this is the payoff of this kind of travel, is having those moments where, you know, you had all the exciting events of the day. You had all these moments with your kids. And then also to be able to just grab that moment where you're looking at the great, big, beautiful world and you're alone and the water's lapping against the kayak.
And we both saw seals this past summer, right?
And it just kind of feels like this is the way I recapture that quiet in life, even in the chaos that we have.
And then it's so nice it's so nice to paddle back in and have a campfire and warm up right by the campfire. Yeah. Now, so many of the sites at the Bar Harbor KOA are right on the water. And if you want one of those, you better book it now for next summer.
Yeah, you should.
We couldn't even get a waterfront site this past year. And you could launch your kayak right from your site and paddle right back to your site.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it is like paddling through a pastel painting.
Now, this is what I would say. I have said both times that we were there that if you have a site that has a water view, okay, not just on the water.
Right, but you want to see the water.
But a water view, then this campground is not to be beat.
It's elite.
But if you have one of the sites that's sort of in the bigger middle area.
Or kind of towards the back.
Yeah, that doesn't have the water view or isn't waterfront, I would personally
maybe stay somewhere else.
Not be happy with that experience.
Yeah, you could be a kind of a decent walk from the water and not have a water view. At that point, you might as well stay somewhere else.
I feel that way.
Because
this campground,
the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA, does cost maybe $20-$30 more a night because of those water views. So we are very clear when we call, we want a water view. And I get real particular about asking, how much water do we see from our site?
This is another point that we always make. Don't just go on the online reservation system and try to like pick whatever.
Call and ask questions.
And be like, this is what I want. This is what I want.
I mean, literally at this campground, and we love this campground, I would call and say, how much water am I going to save? I mean, are we talking mm-hmm. a sliver or a real view?
And it matters, actually,
yeah. right? It matters.
And we've talked to multiple people.
Now, the best part of this campground is the water access, but also this is one of those KOAs that's packed with activities, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of fun activities for the boys. What were a few of the fun activities?
Well, they do the little train ride. They have the train.
When we were unhitching, the train came around, yeah. and the boys ran out, jumped on the train, and went for a train ride while we were unhitching.
This was not the only time this happened. The last time we stayed there, their camp workers there
were awesome.
Yeah. Both times we stayed there, the camp workers were great. So husband and wife camp worker, both times. I don't know if they were the same one.
I don't think they were.
But both times they have a husband and wife camp worker who do the train.
Well, there were at least two couples working.
And
there.
One's at the back.
Yeah.
And they go around and they pick up the kids.
And they drop them off right at your site.
This was the first year that our boys were like old enough that they could like go off on the little train ride. And we knew they were going to be okay. They were sitting next to each other and they were so happy to do it. And we were setting up and they jumped on the train and the husband and wife camp workers were like, we'll drop them back off.
And it's worth saying, and look, and KOA says this, you know, it's like you feel safe letting your kids go on the train ride and running around the campground and disappearing out of sight a little bit here and there.
And they met a buddy.
Right away.
On that train ride.
That's right.
Who then was riding bikes with them and they were, you know, meeting at the park and we came over to play.
Yeah, I think that kid threw one of their toys in a bush too, by the way. Yeah,
no, the axe.
The axe.
From
we'll talk about Timbertina later.
But right. And yeah, so it was not.
So there was the train. There was also, we made tie-dyes, which was awesome. That's one of our favorite activities when we go to a KOA is to make tie-dye shirts. And there was also live music on mm-hmm. Friday night, and it was good.
Yeah. And we could sit at our campsite, and it was sort of like...
Positioned to hear the music and see him.
To see him over on the water.
Which was really cool.
It was just so nice.
Yeah, we didn't even have to walk over.
You went over with the boys, but I had already put Wes to bed. Like, I mean, West Coast at 6 o'clock. So, like, I already put him down, and I could sit there on the camp chair right outside of the camper, and I could hear him playing his songs on the guitar, and it's just, there's nothing better than that kind of experience.
It is.
But down there at the, you know, concert, there was the fire. They had s'mores going, so people were making their own
that
s'mores.
That same couple from the train were making s'mores and animal balloons.
And they were making animal balloons.
And animal swords.
That's the problem, is they were making animal balloons, and they were also making
Max and Theo got
balloon swords.
Swords.
They did, of course.
And there was a massive balloon sword battle.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're going to have a battle with swords at 5 years old, they should be balloon swords.
It's just our life as we know it. But yeah, and they kept making them more and more. I mean, they were so sweet.
They were adorable.
And so the boys had a blast. And I think that was our first night there.
That was Friday night. It was our first or second night there. But we, you know what? I would say to any campground owner out there listening, live music on mm-hmm. a campground is special.
Yeah.
If you can get somebody who's good on an acoustic guitar. And this guy also played the fiddle. And he did some like Celtic music as mm-hmm. well. I mean, he was actually pretty awesome. Yeah. I forget his name at the
and
moment.
And I think that most places, you know, they have local artists who are willing to do that kind of a thing. And it just, gosh, sitting outside of your camper and
it's why we go RVing. Yeah. It's for moments that mm-hmm. makes it special.
Yeah.
Now, also, it's worth saying this campground does not have a pool, mm-hmm. where a lot of the other campgrounds around Acadia do have pools. And typically, we really like a pool.
Yes.
But why does that not bother us
now,
here?
Here's the thing. Some people might go, oh, it doesn't have a pool. We're not staying there. Now, other people might go, a pool? Who cares about a pool? You're by Acadia National Park. Like, everybody falls on the spectrum in different places there.
Right.
We tend to feel that a pool is an incredibly motivating factor for our boys. They love, no matter what we push them to do during the day.
One more mile, guys, on the hike.
Yeah, we do push our kids. You know, we're like training them to be outdoors kids.
Yeah, and we usually do those things in the mornings.
We do reward them with like pool time. We're like, hey, we'll go back, we'll go to the pool, and they love it.
And it's downtime, and it lets them just do the thing they want to do.
Jumping and splashing and having a good time. And we respect that. That's part of our philosophy of travel, is not just to mold the kids into what we want them to be, but also for us to respect who they are, and they love a pool. So the great part about this campground is that it's like has a partnership.
There's a second KOA, I think, 2 to 3 miles up the road. Yeah. It's the KOA Woodlands.
Yeah. And there's a shuttle that goes back and forth between the two of them if you don't want to drive. But we would just always drive. But it's a couple miles
and
up the road.
And they have a pool.
And we went to the pool, I think, 3 times.
We went almost every day, 3 or 4 times.
We would drive real quick up the road. They wanted to swim
in about 4 o'clock or something.
It was always like 3:34. We had done a bunch of stuff during the day. And we would take them to the pool and an hour at that pool. And it was the world to them.
It made them very happy. Yeah, and that's a nice campground in its own right.
And they also give you a schedule of activities for both.
Yeah, so they share all the facilities because I believe these are both corporate-owned KOAs. So whatever's going on, like we went over to the Woodlands KOA for the flashlight candy hunt one night. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice feature. Like there's the activities at Oceanside, and then also there's things going on over at Woodlands. So that's a nice connection there. Mm-hmm. Now, there was one – we loved the campground. We'll stay there again. But there was one thing that kind of concerned us a little bit, or was a little bit of an issue this time that's worth bringing up.
And we always mention the traffic at campgrounds. I think it's one of those things that if you have young children, it's something you're sensitive to. If you have kids that ride bikes around a campground, it's something you're sensitive to.
Yeah, all of a sudden
to.
You get really sensitive about people driving and how fast they're driving.
Yeah. We noticed this time that there was a significant amount of – faster traffic.
Yeah, and when we went 2 or 3 years ago, there was not much traffic.
No. And the thing is, they have paved roads through the campground, which we love because it's so great for scooters and bikes for kids. So that's awesome in one way. So we would go on all these family bike rides at
night.
Yeah,
and we want those to be relaxing strolls.
And Wes loves to sit in the baby seat on the bike and go. Now, if you have cars that are going too fast through a campground, something that is a relaxing evening event
can all of a sudden become stressful. So we came up with a little bit of a theory as to why there was a kind of more traffic this time and the traffic was going a bit faster. Yeah. Now, the cabins were full this
jam-packed. And they have a lot of cabins there.
And, you know, KOA,
there's a whole section of that campground that's cabins.
Yeah, I mean, KOA has been pushing cabins hard, and everyone in the industry has been pushing cabins hard.
There was rentals.
And so we feel like that a lot of the people renting cabins were maybe not as familiar with that basic campground culture in terms of driving really slow on campgrounds because kids play in the streets.
Yeah.
So we felt like the cabin crowd was maybe bringing that element in a little bit.
Yeah, so all of our point in this is – campgrounds need to say to every single person that checks in. This is a big point of mine, at least.
You need to drive slowly, 5 miles per hour.
That needs to be part of their check-in process.
Right.
You know, this is campground culture. You drive under 5 miles an hour when you drive around here. Kids are on bikes and scooters. They're playing with balls that roll out into the road. Drive slowly. So that if you have people, right, we see more and more people renting RVs. We see more and more people having cabins.
Yeah, there was a lot of rentals this time too. So a lot of new people to the camping experience.
If that is part of this, then there needs to be more of an educational aspect to that check-in process.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, this is a campground. Kids are playing and you got to go zero.
Yeah, say it as nice as you can. So look, we loved everything about this campground. We didn't even mention the lobster dinners. You can get a lobster dinner right on the campground.
Right.
There's also a pie car that drives through and this guy sells homemade pies.
Adorable.
Right out of the back of his station wagon, and they are delicious and
worth
every penny of that $15 price tag, by the way. So this is an all-star campground. We loved it. We will go back to this campground again. But it's not the only option in the area,
it's
and it's only fair to say that other people do love other campgrounds there. So we're going to recommend one other campground there, and there's 5 or 6 more if you dig around. But we also really liked the Bar Harbor campground. We went in and drove around, and that to some degree is the other really famous campground
and
there.
We talked to people too when we were down at
everyone Morris. Raves about it. Everyone raves about it, but there are two really kind of bizarre things about this campground.
The reason why we didn't stay there this time, because we feel sort of like, you know, we're kind of like in the education business, we feel like
we want to try different things.
We do. We always like to bring our listeners, our readers, like, oh, here's another option.
Right.
So we look at different things. The reason why we cannot stay at this campground right
at least for now,
right now, is because they don't take reservations.
Which kind of, with 3 young kids, kind of scares us a little bit that we would show up and not be able to get a site.
3 kids, 5 and under, you do not feel that flexibility is part of the package.
Yeah, you need to know you have a site.
So we even talked to some people in another place down in Mid-Coast Maine, and they were like, we've never not been able to get a site.
And on the RV forums, people say 100 times, there's always sites right. there. There's always sites
and
there.
So
maybe 4th
that.
Of July, you can't get a site, but it still doesn't matter to us. We want a reservation.
We do. It's just one of those things. Like, we just can't be winging it.
Right.
With the kids.
Right.
We feel nervous about that. We feel that when they're a little older and, oh, hey, guys, what are we going to do? The campground's full. No big deal. It's different.
Right.
But right now.
Not with a baby.
Right. So yeah. We have not stayed there.
They're also cash only.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to show up with a wad of cash in your pocket.
Right. So,
I mean, you need to show up and pay for your week of camping with cash.
So if you don't like to travel with that much cash, which we wouldn't like to do, you have to then go to like an ATM right before you.
They may have had one in the camp store.
Right.
I'm not sure.
We're very uncomfortable traveling with large amounts of cash. So.
Now, all those things being said, this is a great campground. The price is great. It was either $39.99 a night or $49.99 a night for full hookup sites, which is about,
and they had a pool.
And they had a heated pool.
And they have water views.
Water views. So you can get a site where you can see the ocean.
And a good playground.
A good playground. But they don't have direct water access. And that's the other game changer for us is that the Bar Harbor KOA, we can drop the kayak right there.
Yeah.
At the Bar Harbor campground, I'd be throwing the kayak in the truck and driving to the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't care about the direct water access and you just want to adventure in Acadia National Park and you just want a place to sleep at night, it's a clean campground. The sites are nice. They are private.
Yep. People give it rave reviews.
People give it rave reviews.
Year after
things,
year.
It's a huge campground, and things are actually really spread out. So, like, if you're at the pool and then you wanted to like walk to the camp store and get an ice cream, that's a long walk.
Right.
Like, you would need to drive.
But I'll tell you how people do it. They go in to get their campsite. They drive around. They find the best campsite. Then you drop someone off who sits in their like camp chair.
Right. Or just the camp chair.
Or you just put your camp chair in the bed, right? And you go up to the camp registration
desk. Right. That's their reservation system, which some people find charming.
Just so you know. Yeah.
Right. But Stephanie and I
do that.
With young Wesley, doesn't work for us at the moment. But we many people recommend the Bar Harbor campground. It is going to be about $20 to $30 less a night than the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA.
Right.
But you're not going to have the same number of activities, and you're not going to have that direct access to the water for
and
kayaking.
And if you try it, if you go there, if you get a site, let us know. Email us, tell us.
Yeah, tell us about you. Or if you've camped there before, let us know.
Yeah, we want to know.
So those are two what we think are really great options for camping. And if you dig around, there's more. For our next segment on Acadia National Park, we want to talk about 4 family-friendly activities. Now, this is the thing I love about Acadia. It's just like awesome for everything. It's awesome for hiking. It's awesome for food. And there's also a lot of great family-friendly activities nearby. Now, over the summer, we did an article for Jayco. It's at blog.jayco.com about 4 fantastic family-friendly activities. Now, Stephanie, you got to do one alone on a date night with Max and Theo while I hung out with Wes back at the campground. And this was one of your favorites. What was this one?
Yeah, I determined that this third trip to Acadia was going to be the trip that I finally went to the Timbertina Lumberjack Show.
Yeah, we've driven by the sign, and we were like, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
But we never went.
Okay, because that's the thing, is I'm going to be honest with you. That's what happens when you don't have kids. You see things, and you're like, oh, that looks cool, but you don't go. Like, what do? You go to, like, you go out
a bar.
To dinner.
go to dinner.
Bar.
Or we go for a hike or a kayak ride.
Whatever. There's other things.
But all of a sudden, when you have these little guys, the Lumberjack Show starts to look pretty interesting.
And they were young. The last time we went, it was just not, it's a nighttime show, and our kids have always gone to bed early. So it just
was like a 7:30 show or something.
Yeah, 7:30. So, but this time I was like, oh, they love the Lumberjack Show.
But what you said was during the show, they looked kind of like stunned,
well,
and you couldn't tell if they liked it.
Before, too. Here's the thing, and I said this in the article. When I said we were going to the Lumberjack Show, the boys were like, what's a lumberjack? I mean, come on. We live in New Jersey. Let's be like, I'm not going to pretend.
Daddy's not a lumberjack. I have piles of firewood in the backyard.
Like,
but
we live a life that we don't. We love the outdoors. We love adventure. But our boys don't know what lumberjacks are. Okay. Like, they didn't know.
Right.
And I was like,
but they sure found out.
But Timbertina
and their two mentors were twins. Yeah.
So we showed up and Timbertina came out to meet us. She was really sweet. She came out to the gate. Timbertina is quite a personality. She was actually on Survivor.
Yeah.
And she was also on some like Alaskan
adventure or show.
Yeah, adventure show.
She's a character.
Like, yeah, she is. She deserves her own show and she has it. She has the Timbertina.
And the show kicks some butt.
Show. So we showed up there. She came out to greet us, and I'll be honest, the boys would not even like say hello practically. They were like just wide eyed and looking at her and like those whatever they are, those leather overall sort of things that lumberjacks.
Why are you asking
wear?
Me what they are? Like, I'm an English teacher.
So she had on her whole outfit and they were just looking at her like, oh my gosh, who is this? And we walked in, we got our snacks, we sat down. The show was phenomenal. It was so educational and fun. She actually went through every single aspect of like being a lumberjack and then showed how they do competitive games. Like with lumberjacking, like, so they went through each different event, like the cross cut sawing and the climbing.
But tell us about the twins.
Yeah. So she was thrilled to tell me when we first showed up, oh, there's two twins. Oh, there's a set of twins in the show tonight. And we were like, oh, and of course the boys don't even like, they're like, okay, whatever. They don't even know they're twins, kind of. Our boys are like, no.
Yeah, they don't seem to care.
No, they don't
much,
really get it.
And which I guess is good.
We don't talk about it a lot. But so there was these twins in the show. They were adorable, competing against each other in different teams. There was the red team and the green team.
Yeah, and Stephanie has this awesome picture of our twins working with these twins during one
song.
Of the, yeah, crosscut song, yeah. On the Jayco website.
Yeah, yeah. And she brings all the kids up in the middle of the show and they get to crosscut song. And there's just like so many great things about this show. It was so the boys kind of looked like stunned and in awe the whole time. And then
when you came home, you were like, I'm not sure if they liked it. But then they, and now this part I know because I was there, they talked about this show nonstop.
Right.
They got out of the car and they ran over to me and they were like for an hour babbling on about Timbertina and this show.
Yeah.
Hadn't said anything during the show.
Yeah, and they'll still talk to you about it. They'll still tell you everything
And they
about,
still have their wooden
and
axes.
And they still have their yaks.
Their axes. Now, the second great family-friendly activity, which is very close to the Bar Harbor Oceanside KOA and the Bar Harbor Campground, is the Mount Desert Oceanarium. And this was like a real taste of the local culture.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always a million different, like, touristy kind of places that you can go when you, you know, visit any given place. The key I feel like is to find those places that really represent the local culture, not just the like little the kind of like money traps that spring up. But
right.
The places that
and there
really,
are money traps outside of Acadia.
Absolutely, there
there's,
are.
You know,
and we're not
expensive
talking about
mini
them
golf and things
yes.
like that.
And not just that. There's also that like weird preserve place that people really say on the reviews is like, and we've never been there. But there's definitely traps. And
the Oceanarium's not one of them.
No. There's so much sort of this ingrained, really local culture, really
lobster
rich,
culture.
Yeah. That you can find there. And the Mount Desert Oceanarium is one of those places.
It's fun and educational.
Yeah. This couple has been running this
place. Many
years.
Place.
It's not enough. Yeah. For many years. I think 30?
Yeah, it's a part of the Acadia National Park
yeah.
experience
it's,
now.
They've been there for about 30 years, and they have the license to actually breed lobsters. So they have this
Yeah, you can see the baby lobsters
yeah,
in the tanks.
They do this whole tour where there's three – you pay for a ticket, and there's three different sections. You go first to a touch tank. Then you go to this sort of lobster boat, like – demo.
Yeah, and the
and
boy, what did the boys got
oh
to
my
do
gosh.
What?
Max got to, they got to band a lobster.
Right.
So he held a lobster. Max actually used the clamps to put the bands on the lobster.
This was very educational
and very,
and we love hands-on mm-hmm. in these types of things. We're not just sitting passively. The kids are involved
yeah.
at the Oceanarium.
Yeah, and like our boys got to hold a lobster, band a lobster, and then put a lobster in the tank, the holding tank of a boat. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
And then we went over to the actual like hatchery where they have all of the eggs and the breeding goes on. And
which was fascinating for the adults.
Them.
And there was a great speaker there, a college
yes.
intern.
Yes, they have college interns and she was wonderful.
She was great. She was smart.
So educational. And they show you how they drop off the eggs into the ocean, and they actually mark them, and they try to track how much they're introducing.
Yeah, into. So this isn't just like a roadside show. This is an educational nonprofit that's really serving the community and serving the lobstering community.
They have an active role in that community, and we had fun there.
Now, possibly the highlight of the family-friendly activities outside of Acadia National Park is the dive-in theater with Diver Ed. And this guy is off the hook, crazy fun. And you're going to pay a little more for Diver Ed, but he's worth it.
Well, I found Diver Ed because what I originally wanted to do when we visited was to go whale watching. Because I've been whale watching and I love whale watching. My husband has
Your husband?
Aversion.
Is he not here?
No, he's here. I'm referring to him in the third person. He has an aversion to going on boats with small children. So anytime I reference like a boat ride, like
I know,
let's
go whale
watching.
That's crazy that I don't like going on boats with babies.
Yeah,
I know, that's
wild. He gets
this sort
of panicked look in his eye like, we're going to be trapped. Oh my gosh.
Wes overboard.
Like, what if one of them gets sick? What if, like, I can just see the thoughts going through his mind. So I love going out on a boat and whale watching. It's one of my favorite things. I first went when I was very young and I loved it. So I searched for an alternative, and I found it. This is a shorter boat ride.
There's a couple different ones you can choose from, but one of them's, what, an hour or an hour and a half?
Yeah, an hour and a half. But it doesn't go out that far. It's just close out of Bar Harbor in the
They take off from the College of the Atlantic.
College of the Atlantic. It goes out amongst the little islands that are right there. They do a hilarious shtick. Diver Ed goes underwater.
Diver Ed should have a TV show, and it is like one of the great sins of the universe that Diver Ed is not on TV. Well, he is that good.
Our boys can tell you about Diver Ed. They used to play Diver Ed, like dive over into the ocean and collect things. Because he goes down, you see on a TV him going down, putting things in bags.
She has a huge like cinematic screen on the boat.
Yeah. And you watch him go under, and he collects all this stuff from the ocean floor, a sea cucumber.
And while he's
collecting them,
you're seeing him collect them, and he's making jokes, and he's talking, and he's talking to the sea cucumbers, and he's riffing and improvising.
He's sticky. He comes back onto the boat. They take out all of the things he collected, the urchin, the lobster, and all of the kids go up to the front of the boat. They get to hold all of these things. We have a picture on the blog of Max like holding sea stars. We had them holding sea cucumbers.
Again, hands-on, educational.
Diver
Ed's hilarious. He's like
ridiculously
funny. A combination between like Jacques Cousteau and John Candy or something. Like if you could crush them together and give them a boat tour, you'd get Diver Ed. But even better than that, throw in Woody Allen too as a side dish.
Stop before you throw in too many. All right. Well, it's a wonderful water boating opportunity for people with young children. But the thing is, if older children, they would enjoy it too.
Yeah, and Diver Ed's going to keep – there's not going to be that moment of boredom or the times when the kids are like, take me home. We've been out here too long. I mean, it's entertainment from the time you step on the boat to the time you step out of the boat.
And then it's over and you're right there and you go back to the dock and it's not a big deal.
Right. So it's manageable for young kids.
Yeah, so we loved it. We highly recommend it. They're very popular. They're in a lot of
the guidebooks.
Yeah,
you need to probably get your tickets in advance there.
But you can buy them online.
Yeah. Diver Ed's pretty popular there. Yeah. Absolutely. So a top recommendation from RV Family Travel Atlas. Our last recommendation would be the ranger-led programs that take place inside of the national park. Now, Stephanie, how do you find out about those when you visit Acadia?
So when you buy your pass for the national park,
which is one of the greatest bargains in the universe, and they should raise their prices. Thank you very much.
There's a lot of stuff going on online, like don't raise the national park prices. Well, we kind of think that it's a little ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. You're paying $20 for the week or something comical. It just does not represent the true cost of managing our great national parks, and I will pay double or triple and not complain. Sorry for the editorial.
If you really use a national park, you realize the value of it. Like if you go and visit a national park and really
You can go to the movies with your kids, or you could get a national park pass for a week.
Yes, that's a good
You figure it out.
So when you buy that pass, you get a sheet with all the programs for the week.
And there's usually, and there's many each
there
day.
There are so many.
There's sometimes 10 a day.
But
even.
They're all over the place in the park. Some are like in the tide pools. Some are in more of like the classrooms where they bring things out. Some are
right at the welcome center or the main welcome centers.
We went to like a story time for the younger
kids. About
like
the creatures of Acadia National Park.
It was the different animals.
And there was only maybe 10 kids there.
Oh, yeah. And she did a really great job with the puppets. And right. The kids were so into it.
And it was free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Free. Now, some of them have an additional cost to them.
Yeah, well, like, some of them are going out on boats.
Right. If there's like equipment involved or whatever.
Right.
But it says additional cost, and it might be like $6 a person right. or something like that. But they're ranger-led walks and hikes and educational tours.
And as the boys get older, I'd like to do even more of these, frankly.
There's things at, you know, sunset. There's things at sunrise. It is from dusk to dawn. There's different activities.
Honestly, it is from dusk to dawn.
I should say the other way, dawn to dusk. Right?
Yeah, no, it is. It is from dawn to dusk. Like they literally have dusk activities along the water.
So really take the time to look over that schedule
and check the age recommendations. They'll tell you if it's appropriate for 5-year-olds or 8-year-olds or 12-year-olds, and I trust them to be right about that.
And I would guarantee that there would be 2 or 3 things that would pique your interest. Like you'd be like, "Oh, that would be really
fun." So if you don't want to spend the money on something like Diver Ed, but you want to get the flavor of Acadia and do something near the water, check out the ranger-led programs inside the national park.
Yeah.
So those are our 4 great recommendations for families. Activities both inside and outside of Acadia National Park. Stay tuned because we're going to talk about some awesome family-friendly hikes. For our next segment, we want to talk all about hiking in Acadia National Park, and specifically 5 great family-friendly hikes in Acadia. Acadia is heaven on earth for hiking, is it not, Steph?
Sure. And we did amazing hikes without kids when we were there. We did the Door Mountain Trail with the
We did some more intense hikes. So,
and we've done the Beehive. Like
the Beehive was awesome. Yeah. There's something for all skill levels. So if you want something really intense, you can find it in Acadia. Or if you want family-friendly hikes, you can find it. So there's the full range there.
But that's what we're going to focus on. Today,
family-friendly hikes.
That is the hikes that we've taken that our kids, walkers and backpack carriers, right? We have kids now that hike, and we have Wes still in a backpack carrier. So we're going to focus on hikes that were good for us as a family
with three kids, 5-year-olds and a baby in a carrier.
Right.
So now the thing you should know, if you don't know already, is that in Acadia National Park, you have the Park Loop Road. And many of the great activities and hikes are right off of the Park Loop Road.
I would say the sites, right? Like, so the
Thunder Hole, Sand Beach. But also
Seal Cove,
but a lot of the famous hikes are also right off the Park Loop Road.
Right. So it's the Park Loop Road. You go, you buy your pass to the park, and then you can drive along the Park Loop Road for
16 miles, I think it is.
Right. So it would take you, I think, about an hour.
Yeah, it's a good drive, and because you can't drive incredibly fast
Cadillac
either.
Mountain.
Nor would you want to drive very fast because the views are shockingly beautiful.
Right. And you pull off at the different pull-offs,
right.
And you park, and you can go down, and you can see Thunder Hole, or you can walk up a little bit to Cadillac Mountain. Like the road can take you.
And when most people go to Acadia for the first time or day visitors, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They do the Park Loop Road, and it is, and that's what you want to do on your first day.
What I did. The first time I went to Acadia National Park, I think I was maybe 12 or 13 years old. That's exactly what my family did. We went into the park. We drove the Park Loop Road. I remember getting out, going, seeing things, getting back in the car. And
it's a highlight reel. You got to hit it if you go.
You drive away. And there's value to that. Like, you see amazing things.
And the views are incredible everywhere. But this summer, we found the Park Loop Road was packed. And partly probably because it was the number one destination for Good Morning America. Everyone we talked to just said that the traffic was, pretty intense this summer at the National Park. So we did do some of the great hikes within the Park Loop Road. But we also very intentionally decided to wander outside of the Park Loop Road this time, both for hiking and for food.
Yeah. I think that was part of our, like you said, our very intentional purpose in our visit.
And it was our third trip to Acadia.
Interestingly enough, sometimes we haven't done the most popular things when we've gotten to a place, you know, because you always go, oh, well, this sounds interesting. And who wants to do that? That's the touristy thing. But we had never done the Ocean Trail.
Yeah, and that's really, that is the place to start. Like, that's like hike number one. When you go to Acadia National Park and you're just kind of want to get the experience and soak in the views.
Well, it's the quintessential Acadian
view. It is,
views.
Because you have the ocean view, yeah, and the mountain view on both sides.
There's these rocky ledges that you can sort of go out on, and right. You really are overlooking the mountain coast, which right. is the most stunning part of Acadia, where ocean meets mountains. It's just,
yeah, that's what makes Acadia unique. Like ocean mm-hmm. and mountains, at least on the East Coast, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Now, so we recommend the Ocean Trail, but when we went, it was crowded.
So
and
we
the
said,
road is right there
yeah,
as
so
well.
So we said, oh, we definitely want to do this. We want to hike from Sand Beach, which we had been to before a few times.
And dive in the freezing cold water.
Yeah, we'd always gone there. We said we had never done the trail. The Ocean Trail runs from Sand Beach all the way down to Seal Cove.
Right.
And we had never done that walk. Now, it's a very easy hike. It's all flat.
There's not really elevation. It's
no,
just a straight
it's
walk.
It's just a straight walk, and it goes along the edge, and it sees, you know, it goes past Thunder Hole. It
and be careful with the kids, though, because cars are driving by on one side.
Much of the path is right there along the road.
Right. So with little kids, it was almost stressful.
And it's not like barriered.
Not at all.
You know, from the road, there's like these just kind of like
national parks
stones.
Usually are not barriered in that sense.
There's just stones along the road. So your kids can easily just kind of like, you know, kind of wander off the
we
path.
Had to hold hands.
Yeah.
And we don't really want to be holding hands with Max and Theo on a hike.
No, that it did feel, we were happy we did it because we saw all those things with them.
Right.
But we felt more tense.
Yeah, I think that we should have just done it like very early in the morning or maybe later
in
the evening.
Late, but maybe we needed to go even earlier.
So it's a great family-friendly hike in the sense that it's easy. And there's not a lot of elevation to it. It's only a couple of miles. But things to consider are the road traffic.
And if you're not there during maybe peak
times. Well, we were also there in August.
How about go really early in the morning?
How about this?
It?
Go to Acadia National Park in September or October when Stephanie and I can't go because we're both teachers. And I bet you'd have it all to yourself.
Phenomenal. September.
Yeah, so we did two other hikes inside the park loop. And this mm-hmm. next one was just one of my all-time favorite hikes anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was the Gorham Mountain Trail. Mm-hmm. And this is an awesome, awesome, like near perfect hike for
it
families
was.
With kids.
And we took some friends with us. We have some friends up in Maine, and they came along for a day hike that
we
day.
We picnicked at the top of the mountain.
They had two kids. They're Max and Theo's age also, and they hiked with them. And
hey, shout out to Audrey and Carver.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
They had a blast.
The kids had such a fun time hiking together. It was just
but it was
that
a challenge.
It like, was the hike was challenging.
Hike,
yeah,
there, it, but they could do it. And mm-hmm. When we got to the top, phenomenal.
The views are like 360 stunning mm-hmm. views of you see Cadillac Mountain, you see the ocean everywhere you look. They're sweeping, majestic views, and that is not hyperbole.
No.
And it was only about like a 2.5 mile round trip hike.
Right. So it took us about 2 hours total.
Yeah, so this is a very mm-hmm. accessible family-friendly hike. It's challenging, but it's not too challenging for the little guys.
Exactly. It was really the perfect hike because you didn't have to go too long. You got a good elevation.
And then
you got a good,
the views,
like,
the payoff was huge. And the views are spectacular, but there are nice flat areas to have a picnic up top. And we felt very mm-hmm. safe with the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I have pictures of the boys kind of jumping around and jumping off rocks up top there. And it was perfectly safe up at the top. Now, the last hike inside the Park Loop Road is just another amazing family-friendly hike that we love. It is called the
Great Head Trail.
The Great Head Trail. And this takes off right from Sand Beach, mm-hmm. right?
In the other direction. So if you go down Sand Beach, you're going to the right.
And you actually have to walk across the beach.
Yeah. Well, you're going to the right if you're going down towards Seal Cove. You go over to the left if you want to do the Great Head Trail.
Right.
You actually have to walk across the beach over to the other side of the beach to get on the trail.
Just look and you'll see people probably accessing
you
the trail.
You will. You'll see people walking down there. And this was our first, this is a sentimental hike for us because when we got to Acadia with
the
boys,
first hike
they were
time.
2 years old and we had our pop-up camper and this was the first
challenging hike we did with
major
them.
Major hike with our kids and our backpacks. Our two
when
boys
we say challenging,
backpacks.
The boys were 2 years old and we each had them on our packs. I mean, they fell asleep partway through the hike. Mm-hmm. But this is a stunner of a hike. And it combines, and what all the guidebooks say is it combines all of the best elements of Acadia. You have the stunning water views. You have the spruce trees. You have the smell of the spruce trees. It just has all the elements.
Well, you also have to, do a little like sliding and everything. Like it wasn't like with the packs. Like we had to
with
like,
the packs, definitely.
You had to sit down and scoot a couple times because there's some up and downs.
Without kids,
can...
this is a pretty easy hike. Oh, yeah. With kids in the packs, backpack, it was a moderate to mildly challenging hike.
You just have to take it slow. And a couple of places you have to get down and you have to scoot down different places. I mean, that's just, you get used to doing that with packs.
For me, if there's one hike you can do and you're not interested in elevation, it's definitely Great Head Trail.
Yeah,
and a lot of people say this is the one hike to do if you're going to do one hike. Yeah, so now we have two hikes that we did outside of the Park Loop Road, and both of these are pretty awesome too. And now both of these were recommended by people we met at the campground.
Right. So we did a little more like scoping out this past trip.
Because we wanted to get out away from the crowds a little.
We've grown a lot in our traveling. Like we've realized that you have to get outside of yourself and you have to talk to people. And the best way, it's not just the locals we've found. If you also reach out to other people in the campground that come back regularly.
And that's the culture of the campground too, is that people talk and it's very social.
We get the best recommendations from people who have
I would
been
say
back
this
to
trip
places.
To Acadia National Park was so amazing and so special, largely because of recommendations that we received. And when we talk about food later, we're going to bump into that as well.
Yeah.
So
reason,
we met a friend. I just want to give Chris a shout out.
Yeah.
We met a really friendly family.
So sweet.
And this guy named Chris, big hiking family. Like he has been going to, they go to Acadia every summer for years.
And they have older kids. Older teenagers.
And that hike with them. And so they have done dozens of Acadia National Park hikes. And he recommended the Flying Mountain Trail as a great family-friendly hike. And it delivered.
Yeah. And the nice part about this is that it's a very short hike. But it is steep, right? And ironically, we've discovered that the harder the trail,
yes,
the better
our
children
are. Yes, I'm so glad you remembered that.
Because,
no, we got to stop there. I want to ponder that for a second. I forgot about that, and that's so important. Stephanie and I, it is so true. When the hikes are harder, the boys are better behaved because they are so focused. Mm-hmm. So if they're climbing and it's
climbing.
Steep and elevation's
any rock
high,
scrambling.
It sounds counterintuitive, but better behaved children on more challenging hikes, and that is a key part. That is a key thing we've discovered while hiking with our boys.
Yeah, they don't get bored. They're paying attention.
Yeah, now Flying Mountain Trail was a relatively challenging.
Just, it really,
but
had
just
a lot
challenging
of,
enough.
But
not dangerous. That's the secret, is to find challenging hikes that are not dangerous. And Flying Mountain Trail and Gora Mountain both were challenging without feeling dangerous at all.
Yeah.
I actually would have said the Ocean Road Trail felt more dangerous just because the traffic was there.
Yeah, right. When we have to worry about other people, then that becomes more difficult.
We wrote an article for Jayco, blog.jayco.com, about these family-friendly hikes, and there's pictures there, and there's just some pictures I love from the Flying Mountain Trail. Now, we have one more awesome hike that we discovered. I shouldn't say we discovered. I think this one was recommended by Chris again.
Yeah, he gave us a couple.
And it's called the Wonderland to Ship Harbor Trails hike. And there's a few different ways to do it because it's two trails, right, Steph?
Yeah, there's two different trails. You can do the Wonderland, which just goes out to the water and back. And you can do the Ship Harbor, which goes out and you can do this little loop at the bottom and come back. Or you can start at one or the other and go down and then connect. So basically turn it into a horse show. And that's what we did. We went down the Wonderland trail, which was sort of like dunesy and grassy. You all of a sudden come out into this amazing vista of like flat sort of jetty rocks across the water. We went down around the edge and then back up the Ship Harbor Trail, which was awesome. It was fun for the boys because, again, they were like hopscotching from rock to rock. The views changed so much throughout the trail, from like trees and duny grass to rocks to then.
And it was almost like every 20 to 30 feet, you were looking at something different cliffs, that was beautiful.
And then over on the Ship Harbor Trail, we got to watch a hawk circling and diving. Yeah.
Now, this
food.
One was mellow and not overly challenging, but it was, I think the variety of landscape kept them occupied
here. Yeah, they watched
here.
The boats. We were always there with the pirates and everything. They were always watching the boats out in the water.
And this
that was
is
exciting.
This is pretty far off the beaten track. This is down towards the bottom of Mount Desert Island, and we only saw maybe two other families on this hike. So if you go to Acadia National Park and you go on the hikes inside the Park Loop Road, you're going to be seeing a lot of other people. But if you wander off the beaten track a little to the quieter side of Acadia, there are so many awesome hikes like this one where you can practically have the trails to yourselves even in the summer. So those are our five great family-friendly hikes in Acadia, and we'll be back in 1 second to share our next great giveaway sponsored by the Appalachian Mountain Club. We're going to talk about some of the resources we used and some of the guidebooks we used. So we're really excited to share our next great giveaway. Now, while we were staying in Acadia National Park, we used the AMC's Discover Acadia National Park Guide, and we loved this book. The AMC is the Appalachian Mountain Club, and you can find them online at www.outdoors.org. We love this organization. We love all their adventure guides. I have 5 or 6 of them. And if you're going to Acadia, we really recommend this. It has all kinds of maps and directions and instructions and information on the best hiking, biking, and paddling. So thank you so much to the AMC. Great organization. Head over to their website and consider joining. And if you want to win one of the 3 copies, head over to livelylittlecampers.com and you can enter right there by giving us your email address. So the AMC has agreed to give away 3 copies of this awesome book. And actually, my favorite part of the book is that it comes with a beautiful pull-out map of Acadia National Park that you can kind of pull out, stick in your pocket, and take with you on your hikes. And all of the hikes we've mentioned are featured in this book. Okay, so now all that hiking, it's going to get you hungry, right, Steph?
We're always hungry after a hike.
We're always hungry after a hike.
We always have a good lunch after a hike.
Yeah, that's like part of the fun, right? You go on a hike and then you find somewhere awesome to eat.
And that's a lot. That is oftentimes. We do pack a lunch a lot of the time, but lately we've been kind of discovering food at lunchtime instead of at dinner time.
Yeah, we're big lunch people now when we're traveling. Yeah.
So we did that a lot. This time when we were in Acadia, we were really looking for, like we said, we focus on the quieter side of Acadia a little bit.
And we did that even more particularly with restaurants because the famous restaurants were really crowded.
Yeah, of course they are. And before we had kids, we would like go down into Bar Harbor and we went to all of these places in Bar Harbor that we loved. But just we don't particularly enjoy that as much with the kids. We love picnic. We've talked about this before. We love picnic dining, right? Like if you have an outdoor space with picnic tables,
we love
and
you.
It's casual, we are your fans, right? Like we love road food, et cetera, et cetera. So this time we found some great places.
The Docksider
Northeast Harbor.
Northeast Harbor. We found the Docksider. It's a famous place, but it's off the beaten track.
Right. None of these places, like, no one's ever heard of. It's not like that.
Yeah, Acadia's not that way.
Right. It's just that it's on the quieter side of Acadia.
And we didn't wait in line. We ordered our food.
You can go and there's not a wait, especially if you go during lunch.
Right.
So the Docksider is this very interesting place that sort of has all this like locally sourced food and organic food.
It's not your typical seafood joint.
It's like seafood joint with a twist. Like they had meatballs.
And they had amazing meatballs. Right, like gourmet, amazing, delicious, organic meatballs.
Max has been in the mood for meatballs lately, so this was like all pop.
The sauce on those meatballs was amazing.
Like, right, it was almost like a little bit of a spicy kick to it, but very interesting. So they had interesting food. Now, you could order all of this from a to-go window outside.
Which is what we did.
Which was nice because they have an outdoor patio that you could eat at. Or you could just walk down to the harbor.
Yeah, and that's what we recommend. Get your food to go. And it's a really short walk down to the harbor. And there were picnic tables down there. Beautiful views of the water. Open field for the kids to run around. And the picnic tables were unoccupied. And this was the middle of the day in August.
Yeah, so that was the Docksider in Northeast Harbor.
Awesome lobster roll there as well.
Now in Southwest Harbor, we found a little gem called the Little Notch Bakery. Now, for people that have grown up all of our lives outside of New York City, we love our bread. And we love our bakeries.
And they had delicious bread and delicious and pastries.
Mm-hmm. And we actually bought a few loaves. We brought some back to the camper.
Cinnamon raisin bread?
Yeah, we had a cinnamon raisin. We froze. We did with toast and everything. We also had a sourdough that we ate with dinner one night.
Yeah, the sourdough was awesome.
Yeah, we really...
And you got pizza there, right?
So I had gotten a slice of like one of those, like more of like the focaccia pizzas. Like they just had a lot
of really
interesting...
The boys and I had pastries.
It was supposed to be a snack stop.
It turned into like lunch slash snack.
But yeah, it ended up being a little more just because we kept picking more and more things out, and it was, and then it also ended up being a disaster.
Yeah, we had
because,
a large smoothie spill on an upholstered
Max
seat.
Had a smoothie.
The entire smoothie
seat, a bar stool.
But they were still nice to us.
They were
so
nice.
Go spend a lot of money there.
Yeah, so we just feel like we have to tell you to go there.
Delicious
and spend
place.
Money.
Again, it's not like this is an unknown secret place, but there were really no lines. We were there in the middle of the day in August. Great place to go and grab some breads to bring back to the campground or to grab a lighter lunch.
Yeah, great place.
Now, the next recommendation, this was like almost like the highlight of my trip. I mean, really, this was my favorite thing that we did.
Yeah.
The Common Good Cafe is amazing. And this was, again, recommended by Chris, who camped near us at the Bar Harbor KOA. Now, the Common Good Cafe is not your typical restaurant, right, Stephanie?
No, it's actually this...
nonprofit.
A nonprofit organization that was started to support... to support sort of a soup kitchen effort.
Right.
To
feed people in the off season.
In the off season, in the winter, to low income families.
Right. A lot of people have work in the summer on Mount Desert Island because of the tourist trade. And then once that ends in October, things get tough
things
there.
Things get tight. So this was started as a community program. Now what they...
And it still is.
But what it ended up doing was it grew into sort of...
It's almost like a grassroots movement.
Well, it really reached out to the very fabric of what supports a lot of their, you know, culture and their environment.
Which is tourism.
And their, right. So they now reach out to the tourists in the area, and you can go and you can have a popover breakfast.
And oatmeal. Popovers are delicious. The oatmeal was delicious.
Coffee, juice. All the stuff, right? And it is a pay what you will.
It's pay what you will. And honestly, they just say it's free.
Sure.
They just say it's free breakfast. Donate if you want to donate.
Right.
And it's no pressure.
Yeah.
No one watching what you donate or don't donate.
No. And it's beautiful. And then when you're there, on most mornings, they have live musicians.
And we had like a 15-piece ukulele band there. And they were amazing.
I wanted to cry.
Yeah. They were playing like Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're watching the 15-piece ukulele orchestra.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
And we met so many people there. We talked to people. It was
a community. It was one of those great, good places.
It was one of my favorite places I've ever been to in my travels.
In my life. And also there was a section with toys and books for the kids.
Well, that was the thing, is that we were meeting so many people and talking to so many people because our boys were completely occupied.
Played and played and played. We were there for like 2 hours.
And the boys didn't want to leave.
Now, the popovers were, to me, better than the Jordan Pond House popovers.
Right.
Can you tell our audience what a popover is, just in case somebody doesn't know? Because I'll botch it. I just eat them. I can't describe them.
It's a type of a biscuit, but it rises, right? It has baking soda in it. So it's sort of, it's light and fluffy, right? It fluffs up in the oven. So it's this airy.
It's like a miracle from heaven.
No, it's like a light and airy biscuit.
And you put butter and jelly on it.
Of course you do. What isn't better with butter? Okay. So Jordan Pond is known
for the popovers.
For the
That's
popovers.
The famous place for
you
popovers.
You go there and you spend $15.
And you wait. And it's crowded.
For the popovers.
We called for a reservation and they said like three hours.
We're like, all right,
whatever. We're like, no way. So this is a perfect alternative.
So we recommend that your first time visiting Acadia, you go to Jordan Pond House.
Because it's gorgeous. It's
beautiful.
Stunning.
We've been there twice. We love it. But then this time, we didn't even miss going there.
We didn't at all.
Because we had our Common Good Cafe.
With the popovers and the ukulele band. We met the members of the ukulele band. The music was amazing. The food was amazing. It's down at the bottom of Mount Desert Island, right near the water, across
the
street from the water.
Ships Harbor Trail.
Yes, it would make a perfect combo if you did
that hike
and then ate here.
Yeah.
This is one of our highest RV Family Travel Atlas recommendations.
Right. So if you can do one thing off of our adventure guide.
Just go there.
Just go there.
Just go to the Calm and Good Cafe.
See, like, that's what we're about.
And draw. You know what? They tell you it's free. They tell you you don't have to donate. They actually literally almost go out of their way to tell you you don't have to, but you definitely need to.
Well, yeah, because what they're providing for the community is amazing. They do.
They feed people all winter long based on the donations from the summer.
They do cooking classes. They do a lot of other really cool stuff that you can see on their website.
And they have a website. Go to the Calm and Good Cafe's website. And when you go to Acadia National Park, this is not to be missed. And there's almost nothing else on the list I would say, you know, you don't, you have to not miss. This is something you have to do in Acadia. Okay, so we have two more food recommendations. Both of them also awesome. We have Thurston's,
which we've been all three times that we've been to Acadia
National Park. That's true.
We
have been to Thurston's three times.
Because this is sort of the popular off the beaten track lobster pound.
If that makes sense. And it does.
Right. Yeah. No, it does. There's tons of lobster pounds.
It's a famous place.
There's a million famous ones. But then this is the one that's out there a little bit that people
drive
to.
It's in the small town of Bernard.
Right. And it really is a small town. It's small.
It's quiet down there.
And if you go, though, during peak dinner hours,
It'll be crowded. But for lunch, there was like nobody there.
Empty.
We had that whole dock. We ate on a dock.
Right. It's like a patio docky kind of area. All screened in.
Screened in dock. We had to ourselves.
The water's right there. You're right over the water.
Yeah. So beautiful. And we took some great pictures.
And it is your typical lobster pound dinner. Lunch or dinner.
Yeah. All the food. The crab cakes, I think, were particularly great.
Yes.
Now, the last food recommendation, like to me, this is almost as good as the Calm and Good Cafe. You know, maybe just as good. The College of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Which is a liberal arts college.
We are recommending right now, ladies and gentlemen, that you go to a dining hall
on a college campus. It's that good. We joke around. We call this the Communist Cafe.
Well, that was
the prices are so low. It makes no sense.
Okay. Here's the thing. Diver Ed takes off out of the College of the Atlantic. So when you go out on Diver Ed, you can come back and it's lunchtime.
And you'll be hungry.
And that's how we discovered this place. We said, oh, where should we eat? And somebody said, well, you should just go to the cafeteria.
Yeah, they were like raving about it. Like, go there now.
What? And this is the thing. Talk to people.
Always talk to people.
Because they said, we never would have gone to the cafeteria. We go to the cafeteria. This was the most amazing meal. You pay like a flat rate, like just whatever.
It was like $3 or $4.
It was ridiculous. And it is all
soups,
organic,
salads,
homemade,
cookies.
Phenomenal food. We ate and ate and ate desserts.
Like I would say the whole family ate for less than $20. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Oh, and it was like food like fajitas.
What was
like
lobster bisque?
And there was like
clam chowder.
And then cake for dessert. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the price made no sense. So then what we recommend you do is head across the hall and buy yourself a really cool College of the Atlantic hoodie or t-shirt to make up for the fact.
Do you see what I'm wearing?
Oh, you're wearing your College of the Atlantic green hooded sweatshirt. Was that intentional?
No, it wasn't.
We love their logo and we love their gear, basically. And like the food is so cheap, like you almost feel guilty eating there and paying such a low price. I did. So go over there and buy some t-shirts.
Yeah, it's a nice souvenir.
The campus is beautiful with water views and you can eat inside or outside there as well. All right, so I lied. We have one last food recommendation, and this one's not to be missed either. And it was very close to the Bar Harbor KOA. And this was totally, like, I think a discovery, an off-the-beaten-track place.
Again, a recommendation from a local.
Yeah,
we would eat lunch here.
Mother's Kitchen.
Yeah, and we had driven by it, and we hadn't even noticed it. So that's why we're recommending it, because you could drive by it a million times without even seeing that it exists.
And it is, like, a delicious lunch place. Their hours are bizarre. They're open from like 10 to 2.
It's 10 to 2.
Like 3 days a week.
Yeah, not even all week. And they have picnic tables.
It's 10 to 2 Monday to Friday. Picnic tables, beautiful outdoor seating, and some of the most creatively named sandwiches I've ever heard of. Right? The Captain Jack, the Lightning Strikes. It's a pretty quirky place.
Yeah, the boys love their food there.
Delicious food. We did wait a little bit for the food.
Yeah. Well, it's it's that kind of joint.
Delicious sandwiches. They had some great local organic coffee close to the campground.
And a nice garden outside that they were growing their produce in.
Everything was delicious. So those are our recommendations for great food in Acadia National Park. And we'll be back in a minute to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 12 of RV Family Travel Atlas. We love Acadia National Park, and we hope that if you go, you'll love it too. In fact, we know you'll love it too. If you've been there already, drop us a note and tell us about some of your favorite recommendations. We also want to thank the Appalachian Mountain Club for our next giveaway. And just a reminder, head over to livelylittlecampers.com and just drop us your email address, and you'll be entered to win one of three copies of Discover Acadia National Park, an awesome guidebook, the only one you need for Acadia National Park that also comes with a great map.
And also, we are approaching 600 likes on Facebook.
We're like stuck at 597,
598 as of right now.
So head over there and like us, people.
Any of you guys not following us on Facebook, head over there, like us.
And we're still at livelylittlecampers.com on Facebook at the moment.
Yeah, we're Live Little Campers on Facebook. So head over there to Facebook and give us a like. And we also always post all of our blog posts.
We're fun on Facebook.
Why not?
Also, throw us an iTunes review. Head over to the iTunes store. If you've been loving the podcast or liking the podcast, head over there and drop us a review. We really would appreciate it if you did that. Now, normally at this point in the show, we make up a bunch of ridiculous nonsense about what next week's show is going to be about. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different and just tell you what next week's show is going to be about. And we're telling you the truth. So, Steph?
Yeah, here's the honest truth. We got a note from John, another reader, who had an interesting comment about in response to our post about the pros and cons of a pop-up.
We did a whole podcast on the pros and cons of a pop-up camper.
And then we did a podcast also.
Episode 2.
Yeah. And so he said that he and his wife bypassed the pop-up altogether and went right to the travel trailer. But they've been second-guessing their decision and wondering if they wouldn't have been better with a pop-up.
Now, that's so unusual. Like, yes. You don't hear that from
people.
Right,
and I love this note because of that. So that leads us to tell
So next week we're going to do the pros and cons of a travel trailer, and we're going to make a whole series out of it. So episode 2 was the pros and cons of a pop-up camper. Next week for episode 13, we're going to do the pros and cons of a travel trailer. We've had our travel trailer for about 3 years now, so there's things we love about it and things we don't, and we're going to talk about those next week. So head over to Facebook or drop us an email if you're a travel trailer owner, or if you were in the past a travel trailer owner. Tell us what you loved about it, what you hated about it. We really want to hear about your experiences too, and you can help us come up with the things we're going to discuss.
rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com.
And again, we're going to do a whole series, so we'll do the pros and cons of a fifth wheel, we'll do the pros and cons of a hybrid travel trailer, and we're going to interview some friends there, and then we'll head on to a class A and a class A, and we'll have to buy all those, I guess, so that we can sample them. So thank you so much for joining us. Join us next week for episode 13 of RV Family Travel Atlas, the pros and cons of a travel trailer. See you next time.
Bye.